Hello, everyone, and welcome back into KCMC Sports The Rundown. I'm Cameron Burney. Week 3 is in the books. Conway Springs has fallen off majorly. Sterling has taken major leaps. Nemaha Central still really good. And Hayes is legit. Is Manhattan the best team in Kansas, though? Let's dive into it.
Oh, sweet mama! Immortality for Cheney! And the boys in black are back! JT cut back again, and he's going to house it! He got it! The official in the middle of the field signal and touchdown! Holy hellfire! For the fourth year in a row, game number 52, your state champs! They're not going to keep them off the field tonight!
It's kind of hard to believe that we're already through the first 3 weeks of the year. I mean, it just feels like the other day we were talking about, man, who's the contenders, who's the pretenders at the start of the year, and now we're already ready for week four. Like, after this week, we're halfway through the regular season. Are you kidding me? It has absolutely, absolutely flown by. We've started to learn a few things, and one of the things we knew at the start of the year, or I felt like we knew at the start of the year, was in the six-man side of things, we were just going to wait on Cunningham and Weskin to run it back in Greensburg for a six-man state title game. Cunningham rolls over Chautauqua 66-0. Weskin rolls over Moscow 47-0. There is one team in Ingalls that you wonder, maybe, can they play with Weskin? Probably not. However, through their first 3 weeks, they have outscored opponents 147-12. Granted, that was Brewster, Golden Plains, and Shy Lynn, who are combined 1-8. But still, 147-12 through the first 3 weeks, that's a number that does kind of stand out. So that could be interesting. However, Weskin feels like the favorites. Then you've also got Cunningham right there as well. We're just waiting on those two and six man. In the eight man side of things in Division II, Axtell is, like we've said all year long, they're still Axtell, 54-0 over a Chase County team that's not a bad team. Some other eight-man stuff, Hodgman County, that's Division I, 46-0. They roll over Spearville in the third quarter, and they did that on 172 yards of offense is all. Hodgman County is that team at the start of the year that I told you to maybe keep your eye on a little bit. They've outscored opponents 144-6. Through the first 3 weeks. So they're one that, as the eight-man things wind down towards the end of the year, I don't know that anybody in their regular season is really going to play with them, which is kind of what happened last year. And then they got into the playoffs, and then they ran into a Dighton team that was really good. Another eight-man D2 team, Hanover, rolls over Washington County 60-0. That we're just waiting on them and Axtell to figure out what each one of them really is. Frankfurt finally got into the win column 46-0 over Solomon after they had the two heartbreakers, the one in overtime to Clifton Clyde and then the loss to Linden last week. So they finally get into the win column. Central Plains sneaks out another one, and that's just kind of been the Central Plains team over the last couple of years. 24-20 over La Crosse, but it's a win on the, it's a number to go on the left side of the column that's all that really matters. South Central, now this was the one in Division I that saw this score and went, whoa, because they went to Oklahoma and played the eight-man Class B runner-ups from last year that they beat by about 20 last year. They go down to Laverne, Oklahoma, and win 44-0. Easton Huck completed 7 passes, and 4 of them went for touchdowns. He threw for 137 yards. A lot of people think that South Central could maybe be the favorites this year in Division I. You've also got Wichita County way out west that it feels like maybe one of those two. And then maybe as we'll move into the 11-man side of things, you could have won some serious money at the start of the year, and you could have won some serious money on Friday night if you would have said Douglas is going to beat Conway Springs, not just beat them. They beat the brakes off of them, 44-3. That's right, 44-3. Conway Springs loses to Douglas for the first time since 1996. And it's not like Douglas was that Garden Plain team that went into Conway Springs and beat them. No, Douglas, now they are improved, but 2-7 last year, 1-8 the year before, and Conway Springs was the back-to-back 1A champs. They have fallen off unbelievably hard that nobody saw this coming. They were the favorites again this year to win it all. Now sit at 1-2 with a loss to a team that's won three total games in the last 2 years. And the team that maybe has taken over the favorites, oh, there'd be a couple of them, I think, in 1A, but Sterling is on the rise. 13-point win over Inman, 60-47. The 2A basketball champ showing that they can play football too, and that Zane Farney kid is very legit over there. Medicine Lodge, Mound Ridge, a bounce back win over Medicine Lodge, 28-21. That Medicine Lodge team, not quite what they've been the last couple of years without Kavion Ruiz. And then you got another team that I haven't really talked a lot about, and that's probably because they're on the eastern side of 1A, and I just haven't paid a ton of attention to that, and now going to have to going forward for sure, is Jackson Heights. I always knew they were pretty good. However, 54-0 over Jayhawkland, that's nothing that's crazy impressive. However, Drake Malinas, 6 carries, 167 yards, just 2 touchdowns on 6 carries. He averaged 27.8 yards per attempt. They improved to 3-0, and they've rolled over everybody, combined 144-6 through the first 3 weeks. Jackson Heights last year, if you remember, they were undefeated all the way through until they ran into Rossville in the Elite Eight, and that was a 4-point loss. So Jackson Heights, again, showing this year that they're going to be one of the teams to watch on the eastern side of 1A. Then you roll into Class 2A, and Nemaha Central southeast of Saline. That feels like where we're going to be looking. Nemaha Central rolls over Rossville 56-28. That Rossville team's not bad. However, how about this stat line? We told you at the start of the year, and I've told you all year long, and everybody has, if you pay any attention to Kansas high school football, Carter Hike, 735 yards and 12 touchdowns through the first 2 weeks. Or excuse me, through the first 3 weeks. 735 yards, 12 touchdowns. Against a Rossville team that could very easily be playing in an Elite Eight or a Final Four. So not a very good team. 364 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns. And then he also is the quarterback because he has to be. 84 passing yards and a touchdown. I mean, that kid does everything for Nemaha Central except drive the bus. And I bet if you asked him to drive the bus, I don't know that if he could drive the bus, but I'll bet he could push you home on the bus. I mean, that's the kid that if you're talking, you put him at a 5A or a 6A, he's getting looks from everywhere. I mean, 364 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he threw for a touchdown. That they beat their two opponents that probably are the best two opponents they'll play in the regular season. They beat Silver Lake 42-7. And then Rossville 56-28. And Rossville was some people's number one in Class 1A. So Nemaha Central maybe even more legit than they were last year, which is crazy to think about. And then the other team, southeast of Saline. How about this score? 50-0 over Beloit. Gannon Jacobson throws for 259 yards and 4 touchdowns. Grady Gebhart. So you got Jacobson throws for 259 and 4. Gebhart runs for 183 and a touchdown, about 13 yards a carry. Of the 259 yards and 4 touchdowns from Jacobson, Gebhart, 7 catches, 149 yards and 3 touchdowns. That was a game that I thought maybe Beloit would be able to stay in, maybe kind of prove that they were still sticking around. Southeast of Saline had came into that one and said, nope, we're just going to roll over you and move on. Osage City, 48-14 over Waubonsie. Now their quarterback, Kaysen Parsons, put up big numbers. 288, 3 touchdowns, 150 yards on the ground, and a pair of touchdowns. That Osage City on the eastern side of Class 2A is going to be one of those teams to watch as it gets closer. But Nemaha Central and southeast of Saline, it feels like we're on a collision course again. The Toby Scott Electric Game of the Week saw, for the first time since the first year Todd Rice was at Garden Plain, had a team held to under 100 rushing yards. That Cheney beats them 28-7. That was a ball game that Cheney, I take that back. Outside of a couple of big plays by Garden Plain in that first half, to keep them in it. This was Cheney pretty much from the word go. I mean, 28-7, they struggled a little bit throwing the football. Their offense maybe isn't as consistent as Coach Wehrman would like. But I'll tell you what, that front seven on defense there, they are still legit. Now, maybe not quite Andale legit in Class 3A, but Cheney's definitely going to be a team that's going to be playing football in November again this year that totally shut down Garden Plains' run game. Emmerich Hayes, remember, he was the kid that broke the school record, 327 rushing yards in week one, held to 48 yards on 15 carries and had a long run of 6 yards. So Cheney still pretty legit in 3A, and as I said, maybe not quite Andale legit, who 53-14 over Rose Hill. And normally you look and go, man, they won by 40. Well, after the last couple of weeks Andale's had, it was like, man, Andale only scored 53. So my line of 66.5, we didn't quite get there. But they did put up 40 in the first half, and then presumptively Dylan Schmidt pulled everybody that to win 53-13, rolled over Rose Hill. Now that's a tongue twister. Say that one 10 times fast. Another Class 3A game, Prairie View knocks off Wellsville. Wellsville is a top five team in most people's 3A. Coach Spradling has, again, one of the best running backs in Kansas. Parker Schwartz had 26 carries, 4 touchdowns, over 5,000, yeah, that's right, 5,000 yards in his career. Went over that mark, I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Now, the big thing for Prairie View is they made it to the Elite Eight last year, lost to this Wellsville team by 14. So for a Prairie View team to get back in, have Schwartz run for 260, 4 touchdowns, and beat the team that knocked you out of the playoffs, it's got to feel good. Rock Creek, as I told you, improves all year long, and now rolled 68-0. They improved to 3-0. They had that big win last week against Wamego. So Rock Creek starting to make everybody pay attention to them a little bit more. Another 3A on the western side that didn't. They had the game. Now I was a little confused on this because Scott City and Hoisington was ruled as a canceled game. However, it did get started. I'm trying to remember if they were in the first or the second quarter of that game, and then it was canceled due to weather. Decided that they didn't want to come back on a Saturday and play. They didn't want to try to wait out the rain. That decided that it wasn't going to affect either one of them, as Hoisington a 2A, Scott City a 3A. So when the regular season's over, it'll be interesting to see if that extra win would have vaulted either one of them to a better spot, or if canceling the game really doesn't affect them that much. So that was just a little bit interesting to see that two teams that was going to be a really, really good game, I think, that just never got off the ground. Then we move into Class 4A, and at the start of the year, I told you, well, Bishop Miege can be 1-7 in going into playoffs, still play for a state title. Well, they just beat Blue Valley West 21-12. They may be 7-1 going into the playoffs and get a top three seed. McPherson, a big bounce back win. I mean, this just shows you how good that Great Bend team was that they ran into week one. They win 42-12 over Chanute. Ashton Malm, the speedster wide receiver for McPherson, had just 5 catches, but 214 yards, and 4 of the 5 receptions went for touchdowns. So McPherson rolls over Chanute there, 42-12. Big day for Ashton Malm. Wamego gets a big bounce back win over a good Marysville team. Just a week after, remember, they lost to Rock Creek, I believe it was 13-7, that they get a bounce back 34-8 win. Pratt 41-6 over Larned. Remember, Pratt had that week one loss to Hoisington, and then from that they played Halstead and Larned. I mean, neither one of those teams great teams, but they've beat them a combined 82-6. Pratt 41-6 over Larned Collegiate. 42-0 win over over El Dorado. And El Dorado's that team that Andale put up 104 on. Collegiate beats them 42-0 on Friday night. So that Collegiate team, I mean, they're good, don't get me wrong, but maybe not not quite what they have been, and we may find that out this Friday. Then on to some of the bigger classification stuff, 5A, 6A. St. Thomas Aquinas, there's a conversation to be had, who is the best team in Kansas, and I think St. Thomas Aquinas has got to be right in that conversation. 41-21, they beat Blue Valley by 21. They double them up. Cal Arndt runs for 3 touchdowns. Now it feels like that's a kid that you see 3 rushing touchdowns. You're like, okay, yeah, he just had an average day. I mean, he's one of the best running backs in Kansas this year and maybe could go down as one of the best ones we've ever seen. Mill Valley rolls over Shawnee Mission East, 56-21, and the quarterback from Mill Valley, Blake J, 5 rushing touchdowns for him. Mays, now this was the score that all of a sudden it's like, okay, Mays is maybe back. 56-19 over Hutch. Mays 3-0, held Hutch to just 27 yards on the ground. And again, Mays now 3-0. They started really slow last year, kind of figured some things out towards the end of the year, and maybe Coach Guzman's squad has just kind of rolled that into this year. We'll find out for sure come Friday night. Derby rolls over Salina South, 57-21. That after that week one game against Hayes, you knew Derby was going to bounce back, and we'll see what happens come Friday night. Another one. St. James over Blue Valley Northwest, 21-7. Now, the most impressive part of this was St. James holds Blue Valley Northwest to just 7 points. Coach Clint Ryder's squad, that's the fewest points that they've scored since the Final Four in 2023 against Gardner-Edgerton, where they put up just 7. But St. James, a 14-point win there. Jake House had 218 rushing yards for St. James. Great Bend rolled as we thought they would, and then maybe the game of the state was up in Manhattan. Manhattan wins 10-8. The only touchdown Manhattan gets, I believe, was on an 89-yard punt return. They get the extra point there, then obviously kick a field goal. Hayes responds, scores, and then fire drill, bad snap, 2-point conversion for Hayes to make it a 2-point ball game. And then Hayes gets the ball back, about 1.5 minutes to go, but couldn't go do anything with it. Manhattan ends up holding on for the win. And as, like I said, that there's the conversation that you could have, who is the best team in Kansas right now? I mean, Manhattan is now 2 points better than Hayes. The Derby at the start of the year, everybody thought, well, maybe they're number one. St. Thomas Aquinas is in that conversation. Manhattan has put themselves in that conversation. Hayes has planted themselves in that conversation. You've always got Bishop Miege in there. So I don't know. What's your thoughts? Who do you think would be? You line everybody up, run what you brung for 4 quarters. Who's the best team in the state? It's tough to vote. It's tough to vote against either Manhattan or St. Thomas Aquinas. I'd have to say maybe Manhattan, just after seeing what Hayes has done, what they did to Derby, and then they beat the number one team in Oklahoma, and now they just played Manhattan to 2 points. That, I don't know. Be an interesting lineup to see what you guys would come up with. So that was the rundown from last week. Now, we'll look ahead to week 4, and I will just preference this with we're kind of to that point of the season where it's like, okay, you're non, I don't know that I want to say non-conference, non-district games, especially in the smaller classes, are over. So now you've maybe not going to have the big high-profile games that you would have in weeks 1, 2, and 3. And maybe that now we get to the point where if you're not playing a team that you're playing for maybe a district title in the smaller classes, or if you're not playing one of the top 2 or 3 teams in 4, 5, 6A, that it starts to get to the point where big games get bigger, but everything else just kind of slowly fades out. Now, with that, there are a few games that 5A, 6A, I told you that we might find out, is Gary Guzman's squad at Mays legit? They get Derby. So, I don't know. Mays, they just came out and proved with the win they got over Hutch that they're here to stay. Derby, couple of big wins after a loss to Hayes, so they are vulnerable. So we'll see. That'll be one that I'll be really interested to see come Friday night. Even if, let's say, Derby wins, but by 10 points, Mays all of a sudden starts to enter that conversation. Gardner Edgerton got back into the win column last week, but get Olathe North School. Now you hear Olathe North and you're, oh, okay, well, their only loss was to one of the best teams in Missouri in Rockhurst. So Coach McCaffrey's squad there, if Gardner Edgerton can beat Olathe North all of a sudden, it's like, all right, they're obviously not what they have been the last couple of years. But you see if maybe Gardner Edgerton. Manhattan Junction City. Now, Junction City is, they're not Hayes, I will say that, but they're not as maybe low as they have been. The only loss was to Wichita Northwest, and they only lost to them by 10. So Junction City is not a bad team, but like I said, is Manhattan the number one team in the state? And if so, how close does Junction City have to play them to stay in the conversation? Then we go into what might be the best game in the state, or at least on paper could be, Wichita Northwest Capen. That Jalen Mason, Wichita Northwest obviously 3-0, but Capen 3-0. But can Jalen Mason put up big numbers? He hasn't had to. One of the best quarterbacks in the state. He's only thrown for 507 yards and 2 touchdowns through 3 weeks. But his running back in Augie Fast has run for 300 yards and 7 touchdowns through the first 3 weeks. And they've won, so you kind of just put all the stats to the side because they keep winning. But at some point, it feels like Jalen Mason's going to have to put up big numbers and go win a game, and maybe that's this week against Capen. Then you've got St. James and Blue Valley, and both of those, I mean, that EKL league is just stupid tough. So there's always going to be a good game to come out of that. Now, one interesting note, St. James and Blue Valley have both played Aquinas. They both lost, and they both lost by the exact same score, 42-21. So if you go based off of that score, we're going to play an overtime ballgame. Now, we'll see what happens. I feel like St. James is maybe the pick in that one, but you can never count out. I mean, you never count out Blue Valley. Then you've got Aquinas and Blue Valley Southwest. Now, I know what you're going to say. So why are you talking about Blue Valley Southwest? They're 0-3. Well, they've lost by a combined 11 points. They've lost to Blue Valley, Blue Valley North, and Bishop Miege by a combined 11 points. One of those was a 1-point loss, 3-point loss, and then I think Miege beat them by 7. So that Blue Valley Southwest team is still pretty good. Now, obviously, you're talking Aquinas, who we were just talking. Are they maybe the best team in the state with Cal Arndt? Possibly. I feel like Aquinas is the pick there, but don't be surprised if that. I think Aquinas wins that, but I think Blue Valley Southwest keeps it closer than what you might think. Then you go into the western side of the 5A, 6A, Hayes. Gets Garden City, Great Bend, gets Wichita North. Both of those should be blowouts. It feels like in the WAC, we're waiting until week 7 for Great Bend and Hayes to see what you've got. That one will be a lot of fun when that happens. That I'm glad that game's not a week 4 game. I mean, I wish it was. Don't get me wrong there. I wish Hayes would roll into Great Bend or Great Bend would roll into Hayes on Friday night. But it'll be kind of fun to see maybe down the road, week 7, a little cooler weather. I mean, we've had great weather so far, but you get to like a week 7 game. It's like, hey, this one could be a preview of the Final Four. Then you've got, obviously, Mill Valley's always in that conversation. Maybe that's the team that I kind of forgot to mention. It's got a shot to be one of the best in the state. I don't think they're quite on the level of some of the others that we'd mentioned, but they get Lawrence this week. They should roll in that. Then you get on to Class 4A. Bishop Miege gets Rockhurst, one of the best teams in Missouri. They play every year. That Rockhurst, I believe, in Class 6 in Missouri. And then you get the private school in Bishop Miege, who's 2-1 when could be 0-3 pretty easily, especially with the schedule that they play. But again, Miege, I say it every week, you throw their record out the window when they start playing public schools in Class 4A. Wamego, Topeka, Hayden, that'll be another one that has a chance to be a great ball game. It was a great ball game last year. Hayden, the 3A runner-ups each of the last 2 years, so that one will be a lot of fun. Then you go into Class 3A, and the one that in past years has jumped off the page when you get to week four. Andale and Collegiate. However, like I said, this Collegiate team, not what they have been. And this is the Andale team that is going to be one of the best ones Dylan Schmitz ever had. Like, there's two variables going on right now that you wonder how nice is Dylan Schmitz going to be. That Collegiate lost to Wellington. So this, they've played. So, all right, I'll back up a sec. Sorry. Collegiate and Andale have played the same three teams through the first 3 weeks. Collegiate, Wellington, 32-13. Wellington beat them. Andale beat that same team 77-20. So there's a massive swing right there. Collegiate beats Rose Hill 21-10. So they beat them by 11. Andale beat Rose Hill last week 53-13. So Collegiate beats them by 11. Andale beat them by 40. And then you got El Dorado, who obviously everybody remembers. Andale beat them 104-0. Collegiate just beat them 42-0. So you do the math. Andale, through the first 3 weeks, has been 178 points better than Collegiate against the same three teams. Andale, I'll say that again just to reiterate it. 178 points better in the 3 weeks. Not scored 178. No, they are 178 points better. So, I don't know, Andale by, I said 66.5 last week and I was wrong. All right, we'll knock it down a notch. We go 55.5. Does Andale win by 55.5? I could see it. Then you've got Holcomb and Goodland. Holcomb obviously beat Cheney in week one. Goodland 2-1. Their only loss was to Ray, Colorado. And then one other team that feels like should take that step, just hasn't, is Pratt. They get Chaparral this week. Chaparral undefeated. However, it feels like Pratt may be the pick in that one. That if Pratt beats Chaparral, they can stay in the conversation. However, if Chaparral wins, then the question's kind of like, man, what happened to Pratt? Then you go to class 2A. You get Nemaha Central and Chanute. Chanute just lost 42-12 to Great Bend. So that's another one that you can maybe see Carter Hike really put up some big numbers. Then you've got Southeast Saline versus Kingman. Southeast Saline should roll in that one. Again, that's your 2A teams that it feels like we're maybe just waiting for a collision course there. Then you go back down into Class 1A, and again, not a ton of real great games. That Centralia should roll Donovan West. Rossville should roll Marantha Academy. And then you've got an interesting one. You got Sterling, and they get Ellenwood. Ellenwood, 3-0. They've only allowed 6 points under Coach Stent. But it feels like about the last, I don't know, 3 years maybe, that Ellenwood gets to a 3-0 or a 4-0 and then gets one of the top teams in the state in and then gets their doors blown off. So Sterling has the potential to do that. However, personally, I feel like Sterling's the pick here, that they've just looked so good through the first 3 weeks. Ellenwood, though, 3-0, only allowed 6 points. I'd be interested. I will be interested. Then we drop down to the eight-man side of things. Canton Galva versus El Saline. Canton Galva 2-1 got blown out by Central Christian earlier this year. Central Plains, Solomon. Central Plains, one of the really team, really good teams that you kind of expect to be there down the stretch. They should roll over Solomon. South Central, Kiowa County. Kiowa County kind of turned some people's heads when they beat Mineola. However, Chase County and then Sublette, South Central should roll in that one, I feel. Wichita County and Trigo. Now, this one's kind of interesting. Wichita County, obviously my pick to win eight-man D1. A lot of people pick South Central. That I think that Final Four game had to, if that gets to be a Final Four game, could just be unbelievable. They get Trigo. Now, Trigo 3-0 and have beat Rollins County and Hill City out of the Mid-Continent League. That one could get really interesting. I feel like Wichita County, once again, is the pick, but Trigo's kind of one of those underdog teams that you go, hey, maybe. And then you go into the Division II side of things. Axtell, they get Blue Valley Randolph. They should roll in that one, continue that win streak. Hanover Frankfurt. Now, at the start of the year, you'd have looked at this game and drawn a big circle around it. However, after the start of this year, Hanover may roll. Hodgman County, St. John. Hodgman County, again, as I've told you, has beaten everybody and might beat everybody in their regular season. St. John 1-2. Hodgman County should roll in that. One interesting one now. Cunningham and Mineola. So Cunningham's a six-man team. Mineola's an eight-man team. They're playing each other this Friday night. Now is that an eight-man game? Is that a six-man game? I don't know how that one's going to work. Cunningham has enough kids. They could play eight-man. I feel like that will be eight-man rules, but I don't know. And then who does that favor? Does that favor Mineola, who's maybe not the better team, but has played eight-man? Or Cunningham, who's maybe the better team, but is used to six-man rules? And which one would you rather play? And then in six-man, again, like I said, it feels like we're waiting on Cunningham and Weskin. Weskin gets Western Plains. They should roll in that one. The last game I'll talk about in an eight-man game is two teams that maybe aren't at the top of their respective districts, but two middle-of-the-road teams that could produce some fireworks. Your Toby Scott Electric game of the week, South Gray and Spearville. Now, normally if you see that, you say, hey, that's going to be a pretty good basketball game. That two teams kind of middle of the road to the top half, maybe, that not going to be Hayes Choctaw level of talent. But little eight-man in Western Kansas down the road. You'll give Montezuma and Spearville a little bit of love. That's where we'll be on our huddle and Facebook on Friday night. That we could see a lot of points in that ball game. I will just say that. You set the over-under. It's two teams that defense isn't their strong suit. They like to play offense. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we see 100 points on Friday night. So that one will be a lot of fun. Folks, thank you for taking the time out of your day and listening to me ramble here. Again, after this week, we are halfway through the regular season. That does not feel possible, but we're starting to figure out who's the contenders, who's the pretenders, and as the year goes on, it only gets more fun. Folks, I'm Cameron Burney. This has been KCNC Sports The Rundown. Remember, it's not goodbye. It's we'll see you later, but for now, we'll see you from South Gray on Friday night.
This has been a production of KCMC Sports, hosted by Cameron Burney.